SMG Money, and am joined by quite the crew of friends and cast members here on the Nerd Watch tonight. We are just a few days out from Solo. And by the way, just so that you know, we will not be here next week Tuesday because we have unconscious bias training that we're going to have to take care of. So make sure that you guys don't tune in next week. Anyway.
What are you talking about?
To the far left, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a Starbucks joke.
It is our...
It's a little dated now, isn't it?
I mean,
it just happened today.
It just happened today.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
But wait, the actual training day happened today?
Yes. Oh.
I'm curious, were any of the Starbucks in Hawaii closed? Because
I know, right?
There's no racial bias there.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
It's impossible to be like, hey, Tongan, you, yeah. In Hawaii, you have to get super specific. It doesn't even work to be racist. Like,
right.
Like somebody from the Confederacy will come down here and be like, ah, so many races.
I gotta go back to...
Where there's only two.
All I heard,
black and white. That's it.
All I heard is that next week, Jesus is treating us to Starbucks.
Something like that.
There's like 37 races out there, guys. I'm telling you, don't go to
Hawaii.
It's the Micronesians you got to watch out for.
Yep. Speaking of guys, speaking of white guys, to our far left, he is the comic book artist extraordinaire. He is the man who is the author and artist of the Kukui Project. I don't know. I've always had a question for Todd now for 2 weeks and never asked. I've always wanted to know whether or not he fancies himself an artist or a writer. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one, the only, Todd Bernardi in the house tonight.
Ooh.
Yes.
He just
my fourth
he
favorite
just
Bernardi.
Fancies himself.
Yeah, he just that is true. He does fancy himself.
Yeah.
All right, got it. I didn't know
can't
what.
You tell
I, yeah,
my hair?
I would assume you fancied yourself
I
more of a writer.
He did hair and makeup before he came here today.
Mm-hmm. He's got a mane that any good 80s rock band would be jealous
of. You need
a
white sports coat with shoulder pads. That's an album cover right there.
How dare you? I have one.
Also joining us tonight, back from another sabbatical, he is...
Dude, I missed a week. It's not like I gave birth.
It's true. He is the horror aficionado, the punk rock superstar.
Can you do that now?
Yeah. Yeah, so we have maternity leave here at Nerdwatch. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Man Gannon tonight.
I thought he was
Man Gannon. I like Manon.
Man.
I thought he got like really upset that we were calling the
Lady Gannon.
No,
he's Man
I didn't even know that. If you guys didn't tell me, I didn't watch the show.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, she's Lady Gannon. You're not Man Gannon. It's official.
How come I'm not Mancine?
You could be
Mancine.
Yeah, I prefer me Mancine.
Ladies and gentlemen, punk rock superstar Mancine is in the house tonight.
That's what you're going to get. That's what we're going to call you after.
Yes, that's what we are.
That's a good, like, double reverse drag name, too. Like, if you were dragging as a man... But being from a woman's
perspective. I'm a huge fan of taking two words and putting them together. I don't know if you guys know that about me yet, but I love doing that.
You must have loved the early aughts.
Yeah.
I have two drag names.
What's that?
Of course you do.
So one is Virginia Buffet. And the other,
I'm going to tell you, after this one, I'm going to tell you my friend's one because it beats yours.
And the other one is Chlamydia Bouquet.
Okay, that's pretty disgusting.
Isn't that pretty awesome, though? Right? That's my drag name.
Now here's my friend's drag name.
What?
Cherish Minani.
Oh, my gosh. Also joining us to my right, I guarantee he does not have a drag name. He is the professor of cinema. He is my cinema soulmate.
I'm wrong.
And he is also the man who is the founder of the Hawaii Film Critics Society. You can check it out at highfilmcriticsociety.org. Ladies and gentlemen, back from the back to the show tonight. Give it up
Bayron.
For Professor Barry in the house tonight. Yes,
so
Professor
Barry's
here.
My name is Barry Worse, so I don't really need one.
That's true.
It's bad enough.
Yeah.
Barry the Tuck Worst.
No, that's not good.
No, Todd.
No. It's not even good. That's
Cynthia says your name is Lady Worst.
I already said that joke.
Oh, you did, didn't you? That makes sense. Also joining us tonight, I guarantee this guy does not have a drag name, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, he is our gaming guru. He also had the opportunity to watch Solo.
He does have a drag
weekend.
Name. It's trans format.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for format tonight.
Oh, hey.
Last, but certainly not least, he is the chairman of the comic book board. He is the What did I call him? The godfather of comic books.
What did I call him?
That's right. He is the owner.
He said, what do they call him? That's as if anyone else calls
Nobody
him.
Nobody puts extra verbs or adjectives in front of my name.
He is the owner of course, Maui Comics and Collectibles
of
here.
Of course.
Right in the heart of Kahului Town.
He owns the things.
Where you don't want to know where it's at? It's at 115 South Wakea Avenue. Actually,
and that's it.
It's better no.
And that's
between,
all it is.
It's between the
sheets.
That's
the address.
With ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Daddy Leaks in the house tonight.
Not a real doctor.
Yeah.
I always feel the need to say that.
I don't know
I think that name's going to get me into trouble, so you should probably take it easy. Yeah.
I'm going to get one of those certificate yeah. things that pop up. Like
if there's anybody that thinks that's real, and the fact that there's a guy you would assume is named Daddy Leaks, we have a problem. So
you know, it's like Dr. Teeth from Muppets. You know, he wasn't a doctor. We were all
Are you
cool
sure?
with that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I thought that's what he did in the bit.
Dr. Teeth, it's very true.
I'll let him take my temperature.
He was a dentist, right?
He's like Dr. Strange. He was a doctor, but now he's a jazz musician.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight to critique Solo, Star Wars, or I should say Disney's latest foray into the Star Wars universe. It is the second Star Wars, quote-unquote, Solo film, separate from the episodes.
Star Wars story.
That's right. We're going to be talking about that here very shortly. But before we do, I do want to let you guys know that you guys can catch...
Does that make this one a sequel?
Yes, kind of, sort of. You can catch us here on Facebook every single Tuesday night. Please like our Facebook page. Follow us on... you can follow us on Facebook as well. You can also follow us on NerdWatch on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the...
It's a crazy active account, I hear.
It's crazily active.
It's all Rush Limbaugh retweets.
Yeah. Big shout out, of course, to Ron Cattagay, who has been keeping the Instagram
Cattagay.
Going.
I don't
Cattagay.
Think you're saying that name right.
You're right. It's Cattagay. Big Mabuhai. Shout out to Ron. It's Mabuhai, Ron Cattagay. That's right. Big shout out to him. He's been keeping our Instagram pretty active with all of our caricatures.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been awesome. An amazing Ron Cattagay.
Has he done all of us already?
He's done all of us.
We're all done?
Well, Aaron's getting another one. He's going to be in two pictures, that lucky guy. See? It's amazing.
Well, he's not really in
Nobody would have blamed Ron if he copped out and said that was the only one. Just, no. I'm just saying, Ron. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you
so...
see what happens when you ask? If you would have just asked for a second one, he would have made
He would have made you one, but...
I don't want a second one. I'm happy with the one I got.
He's a very talented artist, and we certainly do appreciate his expertise being... and us being your muses. We
I appreciate it, but I still feel like he's got time to do better things.
Well, he certainly does.
People actually pay him to do what he does.
Well, Sin wants drag drawings now. Of
God, I hope Ron's not watching.
Yeah, right. Don't draw that, Ron. Thank
drag
you.
Or if you do, just G.
No, corn don't dogs. Do me. No.
Draw a picture of G kissing a corn dog.
No, no. Don't do that either.
A luxuriously thick one.
You know what they put on corn dogs in England? Mayonnaise. They drown them in that.
Yeah.
They're freaks over there. That's why.
And they put mayonnaise on french fries, too.
They're freaks.
It's good stuff. Anyway, let's check in with Alika. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, you guys can also download the pod on iTunes, on Audio Boom, and on Stitcher. And, of course, you can download the Maui Watch app, and that's on our Google Play Store or the iTunes Store. Check it
out.
The
Maui Watch app usually gets you a prize if you're at the opening night. Nerd Watch is there, right?
Yeah,
isn't that one of the things you do?
That's one
show
of the things
us
they
the
do.
Maui Watch app.
Show you Maui Watch app. That is also
this guy's
true
like
well.
Downloading it. Oh, God.
When's the last time you did that?
I think episode 7. Star Wars.
I thought you
like
did it for every
2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm sorry, I thought you did it every
since you've been out.
Yeah. All right, good
That's
idea,
right.
Alika. Good idea.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
But anyway, please download the download the podcast, and of course, patreon.com/thenerdwatch is where you can donate to the show as well. Check it out if you want to. We certainly do appreciate it, and all your donations. Thank you very much. But let's check in with Dr. Daddy Leaks. It's time to find out. It is New Comic Book Wednesday, so it's time to find out what's happening in the world of comic books right here at 115 blue. South Wakea Avenue.
You know you spend more time setting up than he does talking, right?
I know, but let's find out then. Fine.
I like his voice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No
that.
One else does.
Appreciate
I could,
that.
I could listen to Mancine all night.
I know.
Is it pronounced Mancine?
Mancine.
Well, let's find out what's new this week. In the world of the comic books.
Amazing Spider-Man 800.
Hey, correct. Thanks, Dr. Leaks.
No, how many covers does it have? Like 20?
I've only got 4 coming, so that's all you
arriving.
Got. Arriving. Sorry. I apologize. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, number 19. The Aquaman Jabberjaw Special, number 1.
He gets called to save the like people from a shark attack.
No, Aquaman mind controls Jabberjaw to massacre his enemies.
Okay,
Jabberjaw has to go recruit Aquaman to help him.
He makes him eat Magilla Gorilla. Yeah.
That would be awesome. But could Aquaman really control Jack?
No, he doesn't control. He's persuasive to fish. Okay. And fish are stupid. That's why they listen to Aquaman.
Wow. That's a little
Don't
fishy.
You know that?
It's a bit fishiest of you. Anyway.
Vicious.
I'm pretty sure that's how
it
works.
That's fishiest for the fishes.
They're very suggestible.
Oh, suggestible. Yeah. Very good.
I like living in this bowl. Eat these flakes.
Eat these flakes.
This is life.
I feel like you've already tried to hypnotize your goldfish.
It's worked.
Kai's here.
Barry, yes? Barrier number 5 of 5, the finale of that series.
Not Barry.
Oh, sorry.
Barry. Mm-hmm. Batman prelude to the wedding of Robin versus Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul.
Batman's marrying Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah, I guess Robin is.
You didn't hear what he said. It's the wedding prelude, and it's Ra's al Ghul versus Robin.
Oh, I thought he was marrying Batman. Sorry. I was like...
That was very... I like how nicely you put that to him.
So progressive. Yeah.
Didn't damage his feelings at all.
Black. So he wasn't stupid. Listening.
You're so stupid you could be a fish.
You're very suggestible.
Aquaman would control you if you were in the ocean, man.
He would just give you easy suggestions and you'd follow them. Black Lightning, Hong Kong Fooey special. That's also a good combo.
That's not racist at all.
They're both very racist.
Are they kidding with this stuff?
The Hong Kong Fooey character, I'm going to have to say... It lands on the racist side.
It definitely teeters. I have to say,
if
that
you can
right.
say it to a Chinese guy and get a dirty look, that's not a. It's a pretty racist.
Right.
Let's test that out.
Yeah, I'm not testing that.
No. All right.
Daredevil 603, Descender number 30. 30 issues of that watercolored bulk. No, I'm just kidding.
It's only going to 32.
Really, that's where it's ending.
That's where it's ending. They're going to do something after
Descender.
Okay.
It's an Image title. Doomsday Clock number 5 of 12 finally coming out.
It only took, what, 3 months?
Yeah, that was pretty rough. Flash Speed Buggy special.
Aren't they shooting that soon, by the way? Aren't they shooting the Watchmen stuff soon?
The Watchmen live action
They're doing
action
the
show.
Pilot so far, I think.
Oh, okay.
I can't, yeah.
It's been a while.
Is that HBO? Don Johnson's in it.
Yeah, I know. Weird, right?
Don Johnson? What?
Don yeah. Johnson's
Don
in
Johnson's
it.
Don Johnson's in it, yeah.
The Don
that
Johnson.
Show is going to be a weird mixed bag because the show is actually... Not about the book.
Is he the comedian? Who's Don Johnson in this
They
show
haven't
movie?
Said who they are. Is but he the Dr. show Manhattan? Is supposed to be the moments
Do
after
have
the
to
first
stare
book.
At Don Johnson's dog all the whole time?
What? Hey, Don Johnson. Don
is he
Johnson
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah. Don Johnson is Hong Kong.
None of the characters from the book are probably going to be in the show.
That's what I'm thinking,
It's
too,
a yeah. prequel, right?
No, it's actually after the events of the first book is right. what they're saying.
Right. Wow.
So some
gonna,
of those characters would
They're going to touch back to moments from the actual story.
Because
but...
there was a full comic series called Before the Watchmen that covered everything.
Well, this is after Watchmen.
This is after Watchmen.
Yeah, this is
what
after
it sounds
Watchmen.
Like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder which continuity they're going to go with. It had this giant alien psychic squid yes. thing happen?
I don't think yes. the movie thing
Or
is
it
gonna going
to follow
with.
The movie continuity?
I don't think it's
going
to follow the movie.
Did the Black Freighter really happen?
Yeah.
No, I'm just...
Why not?
I hope not. Anyway.
Judge Dredd Under Siege number 1.
Ooh. Is that a crossover
is that a
with Steven Seagal?
That's what I was going to say.
It's Steven Seagal playing Judge Dredd.
Nice.
He's like, Stallone can do it, so can I.
I am the law.
Lockjaw number 4 of 4. I didn't even know we were waiting for that. What?
You are. You're waiting. You've been waiting a long time.
Lockjaw, the dog from the Inhumans, had his own comic series.
Wow.
That's the
Sounds
final
riveting.
Issue of that. Yes.
The show
Marvel.
That got canceled.
I thought it ended. But,
me too. Okay. I can't believe there's a fourth issue coming out. Marvel 2-in-1 number 6. Ms. Marvel number 30. How many more issues is... I thought that was getting canceled. Punisher 225. Rick and Morty number 38. Realm number 6. That's an Image title. Saga 52. One of the best selling comics.
Hold one of those for Todd.
For the modern day. Saga?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen 32. One of those two, Todd.
Hold one of those. No. He needs 3 of those.
He needs the variant.
Yeah, he needs the variant.
No variants. Three of the exact same book.
Oh.
Star Wars Lando Double or Nothing number 1 of 5.
Oh.
Ooh.
So good.
Wow.
Super Sons Dino Mutt special number 1.
What is with this?
Super Sons is Superboy and Robin, because I know you don't know what the hell that is.
But it's the Superboy that's the son of Superman, yeah. Which is Jonathan
What's with
Kent.
This with this whole Hanna-Barbera thing? I don't.
They do the DC Hanna-Barbera.
They did it last year, too.
Oh, did they?
Where were you?
Well, it was Looney Tunes last year.
Actually, oh, yeah, that's right. It's been continuous because Future Quest has also been going on.
Yeah.
And Future Quest Presents. These titles are actually doing pretty good for DC from what it seems.
My favorite is Batman versus Elmer Fudd.
I saw your copy of that, yeah. That's right.
People liked it, they said. I didn't get to read it.
They're doing Catwoman with Tweety and
that's
Sylvester.
That's hilarious. All right, nice. Got it.
X-Men Blue, number 28. X-Men Red Annual, number 1. And You Are Deadpool, number 5 of 5.
Yeah. Nice.
Are you getting Blackwood tomorrow?
Blackwood. Let me check. Probably didn't read it because it was sounded like kind of pretentious. Yeah. I am. Blackwood number 1 of 4. Wow.
Is it by Passmore?
It's a Dark Horse book.
It's Evan Dorkin. Is
right. Evan Dorkin. That's why I ordered it.
Yeah.
You know what? People don't pre-order books, and I look through previews of stuff that I might find interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my tastes don't match everybody's. But Evan Dorkin, I like him because he had the Eltingville Club, which is basically us. It's like a story about a bunch of nerds who hang out at a comic store.
Oh, sweet.
And they all have different areas of... Shut up, nerd.
The way you said that sounds very disparaging.
Don't be such a nerd.
Well,
they said milk and cheese.
It's very self-deprecating. And that's why it's funny. And they had a cartoon on Adult Swim. It only lasted like, was it only one episode? Or did they actually do a couple? I don't know. But Evan Dorkin, I like his comics. Very cartoony, independent style. Kind of like how when they did the Clerks comics.
Is that a standalone? Is Blackwood a standalone comic?
No,
then?
I think it's going to be ongoing.
No, it's a
is it one of six,
one of five,
one of five.
I wanted to read that
one of
too,
four.
Actually,
one of four.
Yeah, it's got it's a story about kids that go to college to learn supernatural occult abilities. And they learn to communicate with ghosts.
Harry kind of Potter.
It's darker than that. It's like talking to ghosts and you know,
darker Harry Potter.
Yeah. Mm.
Sounds like the Ghostbusters.
I almost said Darky Potter, and I'm glad I didn't.
Darky Potter.
But then I just said that I was going to say that, so either way I lose.
Kind of going off on the Evan Dorkin, Eltingville Club stuff, also during that time, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there were some other like Adult Swim pilots that were coming out because there was some successful animation at that time. Have you guys ever seen one called Mission Hill?
No.
It's about a guy who just graduated college, and he's a comic book artist, and he lives with like his two weirdo roommates. One's like this hippie girl, and but his brother, his younger brother, who's in college, like hangs out with him all the time. And it's like, it's a pretty amazing sitcom. I think it only did 2 seasons, but it was really good while it was out. You would probably like it because it's like the guy's a comic artist, and he works at a mattress store, and his life sucks.
Yeah, that's
that sounds exactly like Todd.
I mean, it was a really good. It was a really good cartoon.
I guess you're supposed to shout out one of your favorite people, according to
that?
Carl in the Facebook chat.
Kevin Eastman.
Kevin Eastman's birthday today? Holy crap!
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
I was sleeping on that one. Sorry, Kevin.
Is this important?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Are you serious? Is that? Can anybody hear us on the live feed?
I accidentally moved my foot and kicked that out.
Yeah.
What was that?
3, 2, 1.
Are you serious? Don't even say it.
Oh, my God. Jeez, Louise.
Rodney Sarabia is seeing Mission Hill. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are you getting a book called We Are Danger tomorrow?
You're just calling out all the obscure.
Hey, Todd, at this rate, we're never going to talk about Solo.
Well, We Are Danger is a comic book about a new girl in school who forms forms a band with another girl at her new school, and they do a battle of the bands type of thing. And
Harry
I think Gannon would like it. It's drawn by a guy named Fabian Lalay, and Fabian Lalay did a comic book called Jade Street Protection Services.
Actually, that was Katie Rex.
Katie Rex wrote
it. Of the store.
Katie Rex wrote it. Fabian drew it. So he's drawing this. We Are Danger. So I think that Friend of the Store, we should shout them out, too.
That's cool.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Yeah, I'll take that, too.
Yeah, shout out. You can get every one of those titles right here in the heart of Kahului Town at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Any other titles?
I got a whole list in front of me, but I was only going to bring them up if...
he brought him up.
So. We're good,
and
Tom.
I didn't.
You guys can check it out right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Or if you guys are on the Lahaina side, you guys can check out Rex and Arthur at Game Over Comics.
That's Chris and Aaron.
No.
Chris and Aaron.
It's Rex and Arthur at Game Over Comics in the heart of Lahaina Town. Anyway, moving
Rex,
on.
Rex and Arthur forever.
Rex and Arthur forever.
I don't think you could say it's in Lahaina Town.
Isn't it?
No, not
or
really.
It's in the heart of Lahaina.
Isn't it?
It's not in Lahaina Town.
It's above
really
Taco
heart.
Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's by Mind's Eye Interior.
Taco Bell is definitely the heart,
the heart of Lahaina.
I call Front Street the heart of Lahaina Town.
Oh, okay. Fair
the
enough,
wharf.
Fair enough.
Stuff like that.
Center.
It's definitely past Front Street.
Front Street is the taint of Lahaina.
Leave it to Todd to bring the show down. Anyway.
I'm just trying to be funny.
Let's.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, you did a great job.
Thanks.
great job.
Great job, Todd. Great job.
Good job. I'm just trying to do a good job.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, Todd. Here's how we're going to go do our solo reviews tonight. What we're going to do is you're kind of right. We're going to give Barry the floor. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of riff off of Barry's reviews, tell him what we think, if we like what he likes.
So we tell him he's
we're
wrong.
We're going to shout he's wrong the whole time. You're Sam Kinison. Everybody turn up your inner Sam Kinison.
You're wrong. No, but we would. His review is his written review is officially coming out this Friday, on Maui time. You can
so
check
now you
it
don't
out.
Have to read it by watching us tonight.
Yes, which is great because we got the exclusive. Yeah. We have the exclusive.
Trying to, get you out of that job. Trying to get you out of that job, man.
So let's find
it's
out.
It's been a labor of love.
Let's kind of find out what's going on with Solo this weekend. As we all know, kind
it
of
didn't make any money.
Let's preface this with this: we do know
it's
that
the 14th well, highest opening Memorial Day. Oh, no, wait. It's the first highest Memorial opening since 2014, I've read.
It's the first highest Memorial weekend opening since 2017.
Well, let's just start with this. We do know that this has been a troubled production from the start. Chris Miller and Phil Lord both were fired off of the project.
That was funny.
Quote unquote,
they were let go.
Creative differences.
I would have liked to see more Ace Ventura-ish elements.
Let go. Fired. Whatever.
I thought this movie was going to be funnier.
So... it's one of those things where
it
wasn't just that, but the rumor mill had it that once those two guys got fired, the crew apparently were very elated that Ron Howard was coming on to fix the problems. There were issues.
Like, oh my God, Opie!
Apparently,
nobody's going to go Ron Howard. Boo!
Like, I get to work with Ron Howard.
Yeah, but there were
the guy that made Backdraft and hardly anything else.
I hope his brother comes. I hope his brother Clint comes and hangs out.
The Da Vinci Code movies and The Paper.
Okay, Da Vinci Code
movies.
Okay, but did anybody else watch them?
Angels and Demons.
Inferno.
And those are huge blockbusters compared to Vinci Code.
Rush, In the Heart of the Sea. Shall I Go On? But anyway.
Those sound like giant hits.
He won an Academy Award for A Beautiful Mind.
Great movie. But anyway, like I said, Solo, he came onto a set that was pretty much in disarray. And he came in as a... yeah, and he had to kind of whip the production into shape. He had collaborators John Kasdan and of course Lawrence Kasdan on set.
Jake Kasdan.
Jake Kasdan as his son. Yeah. And then of course not just the troubled production, but there's also this underlying tone that has been happening that I was unaware of until just recently from this weekend that. There had been this rising tide of online, I guess. There was some boycott Solo thing after Last Jedi that I had no idea existed until the weekend
Neither
of Solo.
Did I. I
so
the first I'm hearing the,
apparently there was this huge outcry to boycott Solo because they were saying how awful Last Jedi was. So there were people that were not going to see the movies because of that. And more importantly, they weren't going to see Episode 9 because of how awful Last Jedi was because they had an issue with
my wife.
There was a couple of issues with Kathleen Kennedy and what she said about how Star Wars fans don't matter. Fans got very offended by that. And so there was.
Did she say that on record?
On the record, she said that you can look it up.
Where
it's all over YouTube. You
if anyone
it out.
Gets a pass, though, it's Kathleen.
I think the direct quote was, "I hate paying customers."
Right, Right. And then,
what I want to know, is she on camera saying
this?
Yes.
She's also on camera saying that
I cannot imagine a smart businesswoman that knows the billions of dollars at stake would say something like that.
I agree with you.
But she's pulling a Trump, you see. She's going to be a jerk and everyone's going to like her for it.
Right.
She doesn't have that kind of charisma.
And then a lot of people got offended with the fact that she said stuff like the force is female, and she turned it into this whole social justice issue with her because she's one of the big ones of those. And there's a lot of problems that people were having with these things. So I didn't know about all of this until after, because I started reading these Wall Street Journal articles and things of that nature.
And then
as we all know, this movie. If it was bad here, it tanked overseas. In China, it made $10 million. In the UK, it only made $10 million. This production is above and beyond $400 million with its production and marketing. So right now, it's sitting at about $103 million is where the estimates were for the weekend, and that's where it sits. And so there's a lot of outcry as to what they should do with Solo. So there's a lot of negative things surrounding this Solo film. So kind of with that in mind, Professor Barry, and I don't know how intimate you know any of these issues, what was your take on Solo and I guess the surrounding issues, and how did it affect your movie experience, and then we'll kind of all of us riff off of that.
All right, well, I'll start with that and build up to an actual critique.
You're wrong. So anyway, well, here's what I thought about.
Yeah, that's what you
My career at Maui Time is in jeopardy. Every time you come here.
Speaking of Maui Time, I just wanted to mention Anthony Pignataro, editor.
I miss
former
that guy.
Editor
gone.
Of
yeah.
Maui Time has moved to
we
California.
We got a wonderful guy named
awesome.
Maxwell Beers now.
And I got to meet him. He's a very nice
guy.
Young guy.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have him. He's a fantastic guy. But I do miss Anthony, too.
It's a heavy job because he was just a writer before, right?
Yeah, but he's a terrific writer, too. He's already published a great stuff.
Right, because he's officially now the editor-in-chief, yes?
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah. So, cool. I want to – first of all, this is going to be spoiler-heavy. So if you're watching this and you're just tuning a little late, please, this is going to be spoiler-heavy. We're going to talk about this.
Dark balls in it.
Stop it.
You already said there's spoilers.
Will you let him finish? Golly. All right, go ahead.
The thing that I heard about Kathleen Kennedy and her decision to replace Chris Lord and is it Miller and
Phil
Lord,
Miller
right?
and
Phil
Chris
Miller,
Lord.
Chris Lord, sorry, getting backwards. They replaced the original directors with Ron Howard was because of the style that they were doing the film in. They were basically shooting it like it was a Judd Apatow film. They were letting these takes go on and on and on. There was a lot of riffing. There was a lot of improvising. There were all these shots that weren't matching. There were all these performances that weren't matching. They were creating a movie that would have been perfect if it was kind of a light comedy, but because you're dealing with the state-of-the-art film with all these effects that need to match, with these characterizations apparently that were kind of all over the place, and with a tone that was kind of all over the place, it did seem a little bit loose. In fact, the way those early scenes, which I don't know if we'll ever get to see the way it looked like, it sounded like it was more of a Guardians of the Galaxy sort of film, which would have been fine, I think, for this movie. Yet, that's not the film that we saw. I do see a Ron Howard film in this, and I know I saw something you wrote, Gannon, which I thought was really interesting, that you didn't really see any of Ron Howard's fingerprints on this film.
I can extrapolate on that.
I want to address that. And as much as I respect the titles that you threw out offhand, let me throw out a few more. In addition to being the guy who broke out with Splash and Far and Away and Willow and Backdraft and Cocoon, Ron Howard typically makes these movies. He kind of makes movies about the blue collar hero journey.
Right.
You think about Gung Ho. You think about Willow. He's made so many movies about guys who are like not top tier, kind of going through these kind of everyman journeys. I think this movie fits along with that. Oddly enough, I think you could watch this film. Not really any of the Da Vinci Code films, the Robert Langdon films. I don't think you could really pick it with those, but I think his best films, including The Paper, my favorite Ron Howard film, they all do kind of fit this story of a guy who is down and out, who is he's out of his elements. He has no ability, or at least he believes he has no ability in himself, and it takes the entire film for him to realize what he's capable of doing. It's an old story, but there's always been a really unique way to Ron Howard does it in his films.
Right.
Mad Morgan is another example of that kind of character.
Right.
Anyway, I was very pleased to see so many of the people that Howard had worked with before in his films. I loved that the movie actually – I saw it on a Thursday, and that day marked exactly 30 years to the day that Willow opened. Which I thought was pretty freaking
interesting.
Fantastic.
That's
Kiara
awesome.
Wong, our friend Kiara Wong, pointed that out to me. So just to get down to it, I haven't had as much fun watching a Star Wars movie since the 80s as I had with this film. I can't even tell you how much I loved it. I don't care that there are aspects of it that are predictable, because there were things that did come out of left field that I was very surprised at. For all the stuff that, yes, okay, it's like there weren't a lot of surprises in the film in terms of, okay, he's thrown into a pit. It's announced that there's a beast there. You know, it's either going to be the Rancor monster or the wonderful introduction to Chewbacca, which I thought was fantastic.
Right.
The double cross, the triple cross from Kira, the Emilia Clarke character, a lot of that stuff you can kind of see coming, because this movie, you know, there is a lot of Western in it. There's a lot of gangster drama. Yes. A lot of that.
And the theme is constantly don't trust anybody.
Yeah, and the movie is constantly...
You know, usually that kind of thing ruins it for me, because then it turns every, like, branch of the story into this binary of, did you trust this person or did you not trust this person? Then you're, like, constantly, like, trying to figure out which mode you're in, but... I think it went smoothly enough where I didn't get tripped up in it like I usually do.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best things, by the way, that I thought Ron Howard brought to this film, and it's a really big thing, the main villain, there's a few villains in this film, but the villain played by Paul Bettany, it was originally played by a different actor. And
Michael K. Williams.
Yes, yeah. It was going to be a CGI
I like the effect
character.
On his face. The effect on his face was great.
The thing is, Michael K. Williams, remember the gentleman, he's the gentleman from The Wire. It's a gentleman that has that scar you can tell who he is because he plays a lot of the times the villain. He has that scar running down his face like his real scar. And he had shot all of the scenes, apparently, for Paul Bettany's character. And because of, I guess, the tone they didn't like, they took it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
But he was going to be a CGI character.
He was going to be a CGI character.
I think this is a great idea, because as much as I was kind of underwhelmed by Paul Bettany's performance in The Da Vinci Code and a lot of the stuff that he's done lately, I thought it was great that Howard brought him back for this film. I haven't been this captivated by a performance that he's given in a long time, and I thought he was great in this movie.
Yeah, it worked. That very sly, very underhanded.
I thought there was
British...
a sense of danger with that character.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
And to get down to Alden Ehrenreich, I mean, you know, what an uphill mountain to climb that this guy had. I know this reference doesn't go very far in this room, but I would compare it to what Brandon Routh did. I thought there was a continuity to what he brought to it, because I thought he looked and sounded enough like a young Harrison Ford, but not to the point where he didn't make the performance his own. He did. It was definitely his take on it. I would say even like a Sean Patrick Flannery doing Indiana Jones, where it's enough there. It's not – I mean the ideal situation, and this is obviously, you know, going with a very similar thing, when River Phoenix played Indiana Jones – it was scarily brilliant. Yeah. So much so that I would have loved to have seen River Phoenix constantly play, because that was it wasn't just an uncanny Harrison Ford for performance. River Phoenix, as brilliant as he was, and I continue to miss that guy, he understood that character more than anybody. And this is not quite as good. Alden Ehrenreich, who I think is a wonderful and underrated actor, I thought he rose to the challenge. I thought it was a very charismatic and appealing performance.
Right.
If there's anything lacking from the performance, it's just that we know who could have also played this performance, and it still would have been amazing. Despite how old he is, he probably still would have
Harrison
been,
Ford?
It probably still would have been pretty engaging to see Harrison Ford play this guy. Mm. But no, I...
Or that Ingruber kid from Age of Adeline.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That would have been cool, too.
It would have been great.
Yeah, no, I love this movie. There's very little that I did not like about it, honestly, as I think about it more and more. To address what you've said in terms of the box office, how people apparently are not responding to it or not going to it or whatever it is, or if it's just an opening weekend thing.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it is.
It hasn't been a freaking week. It hasn't even been an entire week yet, and they're already declaring this movie a flop or a disappointment. And it may turn out to be that way. We've got 2 weeks. I mean, it's competing with Shailene Woodley this Friday, and then, you know, it has some real competition from Ocean's 8 and possibly Hereditary, which is getting amazing buzz.
I can't wait to see that.
More importantly, it's still battling Infinity War and Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, still it's, going to those
was,
movies.
I didn't hear any reviews, positive or negative, going into it, and I just, you know, I had a great time. I loved the movie. It was just so hard to come out afterwards, because I, and so many of my other friends had good glowing reviews of it. They loved it. They had a fun time. And then slowly, and then you see the news that it's a flop, and like it's just like kind of confusing. You're like, how in the hell? You know what I mean?
Well, it's because, and let me, to be fair to that, to those flop, I guess, you know, comments.
Well, when you're talking about the numbers, it does sound like a flop.
It was thing was is that the projections were estimated up to about 170 million.
Yeah.
So it missed it by 70 million. So I mean, for them to get that box office to at least break even, it's gonna take a huge mountain to climb at this point, because they should have made at least 200 million in the first weekend is what they were trying to say.
Sure.
Essentially. So I understand the whole flop issue, but anyway, go on.
Well, I want to turn it off to everybody else. I'll just finally say, like, if this is the first Star Wars cult movie, then I'll take it. Because I would rather we be in the situation we are now than what I predicted. My prediction in my article, if anybody read my flea-bit article, I know Gannon didn't. My summer movie preview, this was my pick for number one, you recall, which is now probably going to be number seven at this point. But my prediction was that the movie itself wouldn't be that great, but that it would be a blockbuster. At this point, it's not doing that great, but this is one of my favorite films of the year. I love this movie. And I'd rather that be the case, because box office has always been second place in the long game in terms of how a movie lasts or not. And this movie, I think, is going to last, and people are going to continually talk about it.
Here's the thing, is that what I'm going to do now, kind of a little offshoot, I think I'm going to start Professor Barry's summer movie box office Deadpool. And what's going to happen is that whatever he thinks is going to be the biggest movie of the summer, I'm going to bet against it.
And see how much you win.
See how much I win. But you know, you were very adamant, and it's interesting that even under surprising for you is that you thought that this movie was going to be mediocre.
I figured it would just make so much money, regardless of its quality, and it's been a really nice. A year ago, It came out. Stephen King's It. That's the only time I could think of in the last 20 years that I've been doing this, let alone 10 years I've been doing it professionally, that a movie came out that I loved so much and everyone responded to it as much as I loved it. Mm. Where the box office, where the amount of money that people threw at that movie, I thought equated, that is how good that movie is.
Right.
Otherwise, it never happens for me. And these things, you know, they can be really hard to predict. I mean, I've given examples before. Like, I mean, you know, I didn't think Forrest Gump was going to be the big movie of 94. It was going up against The Mask, which looked like it was going to be something amazing and do really well. And it did. But Forrest Gump became a phenomenon.
It wasn't just
a hit. I mean, it was a phenomenon.
It's pop culture now.
No Mask restaurant.
There is no.
There really should be. Cuban Beats.
Cuban Beats. That's good.
Anyway, listen.
Swear to God, shut this store down. Just create that restaurant, dude.
Let's go around the table really quick, and then we'll expound more in our second half of the show. Yep. But format, sir, you
saw
the opportunity
for the second time today.
You've watched it twice now. What were your
Got notes.
What were your thoughts?
Here we go.
Well, I jotted down some stuff throughout the movie
on Solo,
because for some reason the theater I watched it in decided not to turn the house lights down.
Was it
so
Maui?
I was able to see everything.
Nice.
Okay, so good and bad. It's great as a standalone film. Like the space cowboy stuff is great. Not so much when it goes back to being a Star Wars movie.
Okay, interesting.
When it's just the whole Solo arc, it's great. But once it tries to fit itself back into the Star Wars.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm digging on the Star Wars story style. You know, the blue text at the front was...
I agree with you on that.
Cool.
That.
But the story feels incomplete. Glover, excellent. Yeah. Can't wait for his series, because that... Him as Lando is just absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Noticed R2 and 3PO aren't present. I didn't like that it's the Empire that names him Solo.
Interesting.
And I didn't like that the Kessel Run felt meh. Important as the Kessel Run is to the lore of the Millennium Falcon, no one saw it.
I got to talk about that. I'm actually kind of with you on that. I'll get you that in a minute.
Evil Vision was a nice addition. He was good.
Evil Vision.
In my opinion, Beckett could have been played by anyone. He was just there to give Han all the stuff that he's known for.
Did you like Woody's performance though?
No, I thought it was great, but it could have been anyone in that role.
True.
It didn't need to be Woody Harrelson.
Fair enough.
But yeah, like what he did was great. I did think it was funny that that the entire movie is just to explain why he shoots first.
Yes, great.
And that was pretty much it. There were a few other things, but that was the main points that I noticed throughout the movie.
So was it, after watching it a second time, was it overall enjoyment for you or more critique for you?
No, it was about the same.
Oh, really?
It didn't get better, but it didn't get worse. Right. And I had the same questions coming out that I did, you know, going into the first scene.
Gotcha.
There is one plot point that I'm hoping plays out, but it probably won't because, you know.
Which is, because I was interested to know about that too, because you mentioned it in our
Kira pod. Is Ray's mom.
Ah, interesting. That'd be interesting. Fascinating. Okay.
So you guys can go.
Well done.
Nice. Well done. Drop the mic.
Timeline, does that work?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It's possible.
Now think about all those scenes where it's just Ray and Han. Holy crap. What?
Interesting. I'm interested. My only question is, well, we got to talk about this.
Honestly, it hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm just something it's that was bugging me towards the end of the movie.
No, I mean, I like it.
Yeah,
it's
very intriguing. Cool. But the thing is, I'm assuming my only thing is my only switch that's ringing.
Wait,
in my
if
head
they
is,
consummated, then mm-hmm. it wouldn't work because she's in episode 7. She's supposed to be a teenager or in her
that's
20s?
What I was. My question is age as well. That's my only question.
Wasn't
is
there
age.
How? What was the year gap between Return of the Jedi and Episode 7?
30 years. They're a little ambiguous with the age of these characters, though.
That is
true.
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
Ray didn't get it.
They don't flat
age.
Out tell you Ray's 16.
Think
they
about
flat
it.
Out told you that Chewie was 190
and
years old.
And he looks great. So anyway, Alika, what about you, sir? What do you think of Solo?
I loved it, and I think I was just impressed with. Because on my social media, it's like an echo chamber. I have just friends who are Star Wars fans who are purists who the original 3 episodes are the best. And, you know, everything else is like pick and choose or whatever. But this movie managed to rank up there. Like, they expand their top 3 to include a 4th, and it's Solo. You know, it's like, you know, they give their the original 3 episodes. And a lot of people are like, and Solo ranks. And it's good because it really does tie. I know you said you didn't like how when it started trying to tie back into the universe. But I think it did so in a really good way where it wasn't clumsy, didn't feel forced. It was, you know, it was, of course, it's part of the original trilogy because we're talking about Han and Lando and all this stuff, you know, explaining the background. And I liked Woody Harrelson's character just because of he's smooth without trying to be. He's like this, you know, gritty old dude, and you can kind of see where Han in this episode, which is a little weird because Han in this episode is like a younger, impressionable kind of guy, and he's moldable, where by the time we meet him in episode 4, he's like, you know, unshakable. He's Han. You're not going to change who he is.
He's gone through more between movies.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're on their way to Tatooine at the end of this one. You're like, is this the trip?
But that's
takes
not him? To say he goes right away.
He's not wearing the same clothes, so I'm like,
and
yeah,
for all we know,
like,
there could be a whole other thing. Just
several years.
To be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Does Han only have one change of clothes for you?
Yeah. As soon as he puts on that white shirt, he's going to meet Luke and Obi-Wan. You know
I
what I mean?
So.
Got rid of the cape room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like the all cape of the room.
Yeah. God forbid.
It's like, let's get some vests in here.
That's right. God forbid he only have a vest and a white shirt.
But, is Chewbacca in the back just like washing the same outfit over and over? That's
Imagine awesome. If Chewie just starts taking up wearing the capes in between.
It's
he loses
not,
it before
it's
episode
not
4.
Capes or vests. It's his bandoliers.
It's his bandoliers. The bandoliers. Yeah,
he's got all
his
different bandoliers.
Yeah,
it's Chewie's
sure.
room.
But so it ties in, it you know, the original trilogy, and then it brings in elements of the Clone Wars and the Rebels saga. Like, if you had watched the Rebels episode, everything that involved Red Dawn and Darth Maul is just like there's
Isn't
so much behind
Dawn?
It. Crimson Dawn, yeah. Sorry.
Red
and
Dawn is a movie about
Wolverines!
Russia.
Wolverines! Sorry, you said Red Dawn. I freaked.
Kissing and field paint.
Sorry.
That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah. I wonder if that would work on the Millennium Falcon.
It could
be. If you piss in the fuel tank.
Chewbacca does it.
Yeah,
that's
they,
right.
They added a drop of the fuel to it, and it got him through the...
Maybe they drank it.
Get up there and piss in the radiator, Chewbacca.
And it also had some prequel stuff in there, which was, like, I think... all the things that everybody...
Again, Darth Maul's in the movie, folks.
Yeah, spoiler, triple spoiler, Darth Maul.
Robot legs.
Yeah. You thought they cut him in half?
He even pulls his lightsaber for no reason whatsoever.
That's right, he did. He did for no reason whatsoever.
In the middle of the whole thing, and you're like, why? Why is he doing
that?
I've
got a leg.
We just want to reaffirm.
Can you see the whole thing on the hologram?
Yeah.
If you notice, it's his lightsaber from Rebels.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one with the circular hilt.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But still, he's just like, why is he doing that?
He took that from an Inquisitor.
So we could see the light reflected in her eyes, which is one of the great images.
Oh, that is a good point, because that was cool.
No. I mean, but I'm just thinking about in the language of the moment, not in the language of filmmaking. I'm just like, why?
And a lot of people are also talking about how it, you know, while it borrows from what's canon, which is the trilogy, Rebels, Clone Wars, and the prequels, people are also saying that we got our first glimpse at Mara Jade, which is, I think, a little bit of a stretch because...
How?
They're saying that, what's her name? The leader of Enfys Nest was some form of
that
Mara
Jade. Is a little thin.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't see it too much.
I thought that Enfys Nest was actually Beckett and Val's kid.
That's what I thought too. I'm with Format on that.
Was the female reveal that's like actually, a surprise to you?
That's yeah.
It didn't really.
It didn't seem
me,
like a. It didn't surprise me at all. But
it seemed like they did it in a way that was like.
It was also Return of the Jedi callback though.
Right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Where they pull off Leia's
like where you don't know that's Leia until she takes her thing off.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good point. Right, so you enjoyed it, Alika?
I guess it's not technically a callback because that story didn't happen yet.
It's a call forward?
It's a reverse callback.
Oh.
They're setting that up.
Nice. So you enjoyed it.
I definitely loved it. One thing Abraham Hernandez brings up in the chat is that it opens up the gateway to all the other Sith Lords that, you know, because they're tiptoeing around the expanded universe. I'm sure they didn't want to get rid of all of it when they did because there's so much good material in there. But they already rewrote a significant amount of it. But they're also, you can see them trying to reach into it a little bit, like where they where they gave us Thrawn comics, where Admiral Thrawn had a good arc on Rebels.
Right.
So you can tell that they appreciate what's good about the expanded universe, and they're slowly trying to bring pieces of it in. So
nice.
Yeah, hopefully, the Han Solo trilogy is borrowed from the movie too. In how Han acquires the Millennium Falcon.
Oh,
in
that really?
Game? Yeah, it's. I forget what.
I mean, we always
is.
Knew it was a game of Sabacc, right? So.
Yeah, but it's like a Smuggler's something is the name of the book.
Smuggler's Run?
It sounds something like that, I think.
But this was the Dark Horse comics, right?
No, this was the
novels.
The novels.
Oh, okay.
Novelization. Well, listen, we have time for one more review, so Gannon.
Go, Todd.
No, I want to save. I want to save Todd.
I didn't like it.
I want to save Todd.
Just kick him off the pod.
And then we have our second half. So
push him out that door.
Gannon, what did you think of the film?
I've already said this online. I don't know if everybody else already saw it, but I don't know if it's because I went in with lowered expectations or not.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I really dug it. I didn't have the hang-ups that Format had. I did think the Empire being the ones that name him Solo.
It was kind of a groan moment.
It was unnecessary.
Well, for me, is it like you're alone?
Solo.
It didn't hit me that way. It just hit me as unnecessary. It hit me as unnecessary because, like, how much do we need to know that? And B is like it sets up like, well, what is his last name now?
Right.
So like it's inventing a question that you don't even really have.
What?
It's Skywalker.
Holy cow, he's a Kenobi.
It's Han Skywalker. What?
We're going to roll today. Hey,
it's Obi-Han Kenobi. Got it.
But
George Lucas is watching this
right now. Yeah, I mean, I really dug it. And I liked almost everything about it. And a lot of the hang-ups that I've seen about it, I don't really understand. Like, somebody was attacking the cinematography and the character design and how it was lit and all these things.
I thought
a lot of the scenes were incredible, like the train scene where the...
I had one problem with the train scene. That's the only thing I had a problem
with. What's the matter with it?
This is Star Wars. There's flying carriers everywhere. Why do you need a train?
Yo, just lose yourself for 2 seconds and realize that is a cool device for fight scenes.
It's a great set piece, but then when you start thinking about it logistically,
you're
like... Stop
thinking about it, man.
This is a world where a bike is a hovering craft... can that I, can go anywhere.
It's a Western. You know
what? No, so what do we need a train for? Okay,
to be, we got to hijack the train, bro.
I had the same issue, and then I realized something.
Well, that I go along with the language of the movie. Don't get me wrong.
But what they're doing
is... when you stop and think about it, like, what do they need a train for?
No, but what they're doing is that they're...
They hijacked a train in Firefly, didn't they?
No, because what they're doing is you got to remember...
Firefly, I'm excluding from this conversation.
There might...
Because in Firefly, it's set up that there's different outposts that don't have the same access to all the technology.
They're also mining the fuel from the mountains, so therefore those trains can go in and out of the mountains, unlike, you know, some tracks.
But if you're moving it from one point to another, you're telling me you can't fly it there?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're already building this extent, if you already have built this,
you're really struggling to make this
you
work.
Know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that
it's so funny. With as much as nitpicky as my brain got with the movie, I did not freaking pick up on the train.
Yeah, I only gave it a pass because I figured that they were going weaving in and out of the mountains.
I'm really not mad about it, but like when I stopped to think about it, I was like, but this is a universe where everything flies. Why do we need a train?
Sure.
It doesn't even really connect to the track either. But
no, it doesn't.
No, but
But then it'll be too prequely if it flies.
You gotta remember too. You gotta remember too. To be fair,
it needs to be made out of chrome.
To be fair, remember that fuel source is extremely unstable, so it has.
When it's refined, it's not.
No,
when it was on the train, it was refined.
I thought it was both.
No.
I know it's extremely unstable when it's unrefined, but
got it from the mines, they had to jack it all the way over to that other planet to refine it. The train stuff was already refined.
Well, I know that Savarin in the film is one of the places that was untouched because Savarin, and there was only one of the places you could actually mine it because there were several different locations. But anyway,
Coaxium,
yeah.
So
anyway,
that word a lot. They do. More so than unobtainium, in fact.
Yeah, matter of fact, that is true.
But yeah,
Blue Glow.
Out of all the new Star Wars films, this is the one I actually dug. I really liked it a lot. And the setup towards the end didn't feel like a setup for another Han Solo story. It actually kind of feels like it's a setup for the Obi-Wan.
Well, actually, it already sets... It's kind of a low-key setup for season finale of Rebels. The episode Two Sons. Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi have a showdown on Tatooine.
But they're already talking about Obi-Wan movies, so I imagine that
I'm just curious
they're
if that
maneuver away from that a little bit.
I'm just curious if, well, maybe he'll meet up with Darth Maul. That would be an interesting showdown.
Or maybe.
But they already had that in Rebels, is what I'm saying, is would they dare repeat it on the big screen?
I don't think they'd do it with Han, because
no, not Han.
That just shows that Han didn't do anything.
I'm saying Obi-Wan movie, because Darth Maul is headed to wherever Kira tells him to go.
Or maybe it's a setup for a Boba Fett movie.
Well, there is a Boba Fett movie, so...
I can't wait to see... No, I can't. I can't. I don't want a Boba Fett movie.
Mm-hmm. That's where he meets Han. He meets Han on Tatooine because they both work for Jabba.
Just as long as they remember that Boba Fett doesn't say much.
I feel like as cool as Boba Fett was, they've already killed it with Attack of the Clones.
I want to get the standalone film with the dinosaur bounty
Bosk.
Hunter.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
That was the other thing I dug about
it. IG-88.
No.
Like
no. Nobody cares about IG-88.
The Star Wars, I mean, at least for me, the Star Wars-y stuff that you expect, like the Stormtroopers and the Empire, it was super tangential. It wasn't like how it was in Rogue One, where it was like the whole basis of the story. The Empire is just something that's looming. They're not a part of the story.
I
kind of
liked at least how it was in the beginning, where the Empire was assimilating planets, basically.
Yeah.
And like where they had that sorting facility and they're recruiting stormtroopers and stuff. And it's like so chaotic that Han could just walk up to a booth and be like...
I will say that was...
I thought that was an interesting angle to see the universe from, because you don't... We didn't see it from that angle very well in another movie.
That's what I wanted to see from Rogue One. But we didn't get that in Rogue One.
Yeah, because it felt like there was an actual recruit.
Rogue One was just such a heavy movie.
Yes.
Whereas this is like... This is fun.
Yes.
Rogue One is like a suicide run from like the start to end.
It's the true Suicide Squad.
It's true. Is there anything you found disappointing?
Yeah, but they didn't win an Oscar.
Damn it, Aliga.
There's stuff in the movie that when it happens, there's that slight twinge in you. They're just like, that's a little weird. Like when he starts speaking Wookiee.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I think, but the thing is, I like that.
Well, no, hold on.
That explains where...
When it happens, you're just like, this is a little goofy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, how would he break through to Chewbacca otherwise?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So that's why I forgave it. But then, getting back into the real.
But that also
mindset,
explains why he doesn't like to converse.
They
in
never
Wookiee.
Have to do it again.
Yeah, like, they explain that he understands it. and they understand each other.
But then Chewie can understand him speaking English.
Right.
Yeah. That's everybody fine. In this world speaks Wookiee.
Like, right.
It's like Spanish. Splash, he learns.
It's like quickly. Spanish. Everybody can speak a little Wookiee.
And the thing was is that I assumed that people were speaking Wookiee in this universe because that the Wookiees had been enslaved. So I'm assuming that there had to have been some kind of common
So those guys, they were shocking them in that cave. They should be like telling them, go. You know,
that
like
would
that
be
kind
a little
thing.
Too over the top.
I would have loved it, though, if they did. Get in the cave.
Good point.
Yeah, but then they would have understood Han when he was like, you know, talking.
True.
Well, listen, overall, though, it was good.
The
one thing that was a shock for me, though,
what?
The one thing that was a shock for me, it occurred to me watching the movie, you've never seen Chewbacca in the wind, really.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
So
when he's like out and the wind's blowing through, I was just like, I've never seen that image before.
Episode 8?
Last Jedi?
Last Jedi, when they're on the Luke's little island.
Not really. Not to the extent where you see his hair blowing all over the place. Mm-hmm. That image was...
Now I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Like, but you've never really seen him out in like some strong winds like this before.
Reminds me of Todd when I see him on the beach.
just you see him do one of these.
Anyway, listen.
No.
We have all of our actual star reviews coming up very shortly. We will have Todd's review. I'll have my review on the second half. Part 2 of Solo is coming up here very
soon. You're giving it last. You're giving it weird.
Yeah. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Facebook Live and, of course, those listening on the podcast because we're recording Part 2. You guys can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation as well. And, of course, please donate to the Patreon at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. We've got our second half coming up, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. Part 2 of our Solo spoiler cast review coming up right here. So for Todd, for Gannon, for Barry, for Format, and of course for Dr. Daddy Leaks.
Not a doctor.
I am G Money. My review of...
Why do you always put those rubber gloves on when I'm in the bathroom?
And I, of course, am G Money, and we'll be back right here, right now, for part 2 of our Solo review special, only on the one.